be in the house of the Lord. But man, what a great day today is. We've got people here that we haven't seen in quite a little while. We've got Bob back here, right where he belongs, right beside a Ruby and right in front of us. That's been a blank pew for a while there. But boy, it's glad to have Bob back with us, and Ruby too, and we got Sue here with us. We haven't seen Sue in a good long while, and it's just wonderful, a real treat to have her with us this morning. And then John and Kristen and her family back here with us. Glad to have them with us. We want to continue to keep our prayers up, lifted up for them and the loss of their house to fire and so forth, and just keep praying for them that they'll find another home to get settled into and so forth. Just keep praying for them. Just so many others. We're just glad to have you all with us here, worshiping with us this morning. And so we're going to continue on with our series. This is, I think, the ninth. I don't know who's counting, huh? Week in this, the series of One Another. And this week we're in Romans chapter 12, verses 16 through 18, and chapter 14, verse 19, being at peace with one another. I don't know if anybody studies church history at all, but back in the 15th century, there was a Augustinian monk by the name of Thomas A. Kempis, who achieved great impact on generations to come by his life's work, the editing of Groot's diary entitled The Imitation of Christ. In there he says, "I want to teach you the way of peace and true liberty." He continues on saying, "There are four things that you must do. First, strive to do another's will rather than your own. Second, choose always to have less than more. Third, see the lower places in life, dying to the need to be recognized and important. And fourth, always and in everything desire that the will of God may be completely fulfilled in you. The person who tries these things will be treading the frontiers of peace and rest." You know, on all four of these points that Kempis lists off, his advice is diametrically opposed to the messages that we get daily from the world around us. In our me-first world of tooth and nail, there is neither peace nor liberty. To be freed from the world's bondage, choose today to follow the footsteps of Jesus. In John chapter 8 and verse 36, Jesus says, "So if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed." And then in Ephesians 2:14, the Apostle Paul talks about this idea of peace. And he says, "For he himself," he being Jesus, "he himself is our peace, who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall." You know, to think that we're all going to see things in this world eye to eye, agree on everything with everybody, never have a disagreement with another person, is simply unrealistic. If you think you're going to get through life never disagreeing with people, I guess I would disagree with you. So, there you go. We're all different in the way God made us, and that includes the way that we think about things. That doesn't mean that we need to accentuate those differences, however. It's when we try to be different, to become contentious towards others, that we lose sight of the joy of peace with one another. You know, last week we spoke about the danger of selfishness with regard to our relationship with God and others. When selfishness takes over, takes hold of our lives and takes over our love for and our and deep desire for the good of others disappears. The genuinely changed heart, the reflective of Jesus in our lives, of course, instead remains inward and self-centered, no longer interested in serving one another. As followers of Jesus, we're commanded to love each other as I have loved you, as Jesus says. We need to love one another as I first loved you. If we love others in a selfless manner that Jesus loves us, we'll love in an outward way that puts others' needs, their cares, their thoughts ahead of our own. We'll set aside our opinions, our rights, our positions for the sake of the peace of peace with one another. Mark chapter 9 and verse 50, the latter portion of that verse, says, have salt in yourselves and be at peace with each other. And those are the words of our Lord Jesus Christ that said that. When we love one another as we do ourselves, we recognize that we are all members of just one body, and that being the body of Christ. Today we're going to look at God's command to be at peace with one another. If you have your Bibles, let's open up into the New Testament book of Romans, chapter 12, verses 16 to 18, and then we'll jump ahead just a couple of chapters to chapter 14 and verse 19. And here Paul says in his letter to the Romans, he says, be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Don't think too highly of yourself, in other words. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. And then Romans 14:19 says, So then we pursue the things which make for peace and the building up of one another. So I noticed that it uses the term peacemakers in some translations. Being peacemakers. It truly would be a wonderful world if we could choose to be at peace with every person that we deal with. Boy, if you stop and think about it, and we look around about us in the news articles that we see on TV and on the internet and things like that, if this statement was true, if we could be at peace with every person that we come in contact with and deal with, we'd have no problems over in Israel right now. We'd have no problems over in Russia and in that conflict over there. We'd have no problems in Afghanistan and all these war-torn areas throughout the world. We'd have no problems with them. We'd have no problems with our trade problem, deficits and so forth, as far as tariffs and all that kind of stuff. We'd be at peace with one another. We'd have no problems right here in our own backyard, would we, as far as politics is concerned and all the things that seem to be going on. Every time you turn around, there's a protest or a demonstration of some sort. There would be none of that stuff would be going on if we were all at peace with one another. Thinking about what's best for someone else rather than always thinking inwardly. But that's not the world we live in. That's not the world we live in. Paul says in verse 18, if possible, so far as it depends on you. See, he's implying there that peace may not always be possible. But here's the important part. The part you can control, as much as depends on you, you can't always control the other guy's attitude, can you? You can control what you can do, but you can't control what the receiver does. You can't control what other people do and how they react. We can make sure that we keep our own house clean. We can check our own conversation. How's your tone? How's our tone? How do we inflect to others? Are we being divisive? Are we being contentious with the things that we say and do towards someone else? Are we baiting an argument because we think that we've got all the right answers? Are we condescending towards others when we talk to them and talking down towards others? Let's not stir the pot. Rather, we are to seek peace. We are to be peacemakers. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 9. Jesus says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God." Kind words, the words that we choose to use. We may be attacked by other contentious people, but that doesn't mean there's nothing we can do. First of all, we don't have to retaliate, do we? Little kid comes home and says, "You know, I had a bad argument, or I got in a fight on the playground, but you don't understand, Mom, Dad, he started it. They started it. They said this or that, and they said, you know, they called my dog a bad name, or they said some terrible, nasty thing. So of course I had to retaliate. I had to, you know, they did it first, so I had to, you know, they hit me, so I had to hit them back. It's the law of the jungle, right? No, it's not the law of Christians. Jesus didn't hit people back, did he? In fact, he says, if they hit you on the left cheek, turn also to them your right. That's pretty hard to do, isn't it? It tends to disarm a contentious person when you won't fight back. The opposite works well too. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 1 says, "A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger." So what are you doing when you fire back at somebody that says something nasty to you and you fire back at them? What happens? That's like pouring gas on a fire, isn't it? That doesn't help in anything. You think you fire back at them, something nasty back at them, say, "Oh man, I didn't expect he was going to do that. So I'm just going to say, well, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to say that." Not in my experience anyways. All it does is makes the other person say, "Well, I better come up with something even worse than that," and back and forth you go. Titus chapter 3, verses 1 and 2 says, "Remind them to be subject to rulers, to authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good deed, to malign no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing every consideration for all men." We're to be, you know, some people say, "Well, that means you need to be a good Christian. You got to be a wimp." I don't think that's being a wimp. That's being pretty strong. It takes a strong person to do all to show all of those characteristics. Humility-wise, if you want to be a peacemaker, a really good place to start is Titus chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, as I just read. Don't be a trash talker about people. Obey the rules and the authorities humbly. Don't be a condescending big shot. Be humble, peaceable, and considerate. And you need to be forgiving. For many years, more than a century ago, Argentina and Chile had been on the brink of war with each other over boundary disputes. Finally, they realized the futility of a war between them and agreed to a peaceful resolution. In 1904, to commensurate this peace agreement, they melted down some of their cannons to fashion a large statue of Christ on the mountainous boundary between their two countries. At the base of that statue was placed these words: "Sooner shall these mountains crumble into dust than Chileans and Argentinians break the peace which at the feet of this Christ, the Redeemer, they have sworn to maintain." You know, amid the mountain peaks of the Andes, that huge statue still stands. They call it the Christ the Redeemer of the Andes. As with love or anything else, our priorities begin with God. Jesus said the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and foremost commandment. And then you shall also, it goes on to say, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. In the same way, before you can have peace with one another, there must be peace with God. How can we know real peace with God? How do we get to that point where we know true peace with God? The signs that read, you see them on billboards and different places where it'll say, "No peace," or "No God," with a question mark, N-O, or K-N-O, no God, no peace. Then K-N-O-W, no God, no peace. The truth of this is that there's no peace without God. There's no peace with others without faith in Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 5 and verse 1 says, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Paul's not talking about simply a subjective peace of mind here. Having been justified through faith, your status has changed with God from enemy to blessed child. The war, the conflict is all over with. There is peace now. The feud is all over with. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 13 and 14, Paul says there, "But now in Christ Jesus, you who formerly were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall." Peace is found in salvation. Salvation is found in Jesus Christ. Now finally, our text tells us in verse 18, "If possible, so far as it depends on you, to be at peace with all men." And then in Romans 14, 19, it says, "So then we pursue the things which make for peace and the building up of one another." So here again, Paul is addressing their getting along with one another in a manner that is peace-seeking and considerate. Not deliberately offending those weaker in faith by eating what they consider unclean. In Romans 14, 13, he says, "Let us not judge one another anymore, but rather determine this, not to put an obstacle or a stumbling block in a brother's way." And in verse 15, the latter portion, 15b, I guess you could label it, "Do not destroy with your food him for whom Christ died." Don't let these minor things get in the way of a brother that will, you know, that'll cause him to stumble. And then in verse 17 is Paul's solution. He says that rather than act selfishly, displaying little in the way of love, he says, "So then we pursue the things which make for peace and the building up of one another. Be peacemakers. The greatest enemy of peace and harmony is a thing we call pride or selfishness. Oh boy, there's no small amount of selfishness running around these days, is there? I'm looking out for number one first. Rest assured that number one is not you. Number one is this one. I'll take care of me first. What have you done for me lately? Man, it's so prevalent in our world today. All the things that cause people to not be at peace, arguments and wars and financial disagreements, lawsuits, oh man, lawsuits, divorce, people not speaking to one another. They all stem from issues of pride. Pride always grows inward and has no concern for the outward, for others. Someone once said, pride is the ground in which other sins grow. Just as Titus urged earlier to be obedient, to be ready for every good deed, to malign no one, to be peaceable and gentle and showing every consideration for all men, true humility toward all men. Remember that in Titus chapter 3. See, if our desire is in step with God's desire, because a changed heart, if we have a changed heart, then that heart will, it's changed for Jesus. It'll be reflective of the commands of the things that are Jesus that Jesus wants and desires. So if our desire is in step with God's desire, if the love of Jesus is genuinely in our hearts and we're loving our neighbor as we love ourselves, then our desire should truly be to be at peace with one another. So believe it or not, there's a lot of division in the world today. People are divided over religion. People are divided over religious practice, over politics and political opinions. Didn't know that, did you? It happens. People are even divided over whether this dress, that's a dress, in case you didn't know it. Their head's kind of cut off there, but this dress showed up on the internet some time back. And the question was, what colors do you see in this dress? Is it white and gold, or is it black and blue? And there was, it seems kind of obvious. I don't know. Maybe I'm colorblind. I kind of am a little colorblind, but it seems obvious to me. But when they asked that question on the internet, it was, people were divided big time. A lot of people thought blue and gold, white and gold. A lot of people thought black and blue. Now, the opinions were divided as to what colors this dress was. But how many see a gold and black and white dress? Does anybody see a blue and or black and blue there? I think we're consensus here that it's gold and white. But it's kind of a weird thing. But the dress actually was black and blue. It's a psychological phenomenon, I guess, but it says that that dress actually was black and blue, so there was a true and correct answer. But because of the lighting conditions of the picture, many people perceive the colors differently. Now, some things we are divided over are just plain silly. But some things are warranted because there really is a right and a wrong answer. It's wrong to cry out, peace, peace, when there is no peace. In other words, we shouldn't act like everything about today's culture is okay, celebrating what's immoral for the sake of peace when there are real evils in the world. Jesus said that he didn't come to bring peace, but he brought a sword. And sometimes that means our own families will be against us because of our faith in Christ. That's a hard pill to swallow. But sometimes it causes that division. And yet, because Jesus came, God promises us in his word to tear down the walls of hostility so that we can have peace with one another, not only in eternity, but today as we rest in Jesus. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 14, for he himself, capital H, he himself is our peace, who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall. We pray with Blessed Father, we come before you this morning. We just glorify your name. We thank you, Father, for sending your only Son into this world to break down the barriers that we can have peace with one another. But that's not because we work real hard and we choose to do this or choose to do that, but because you have taken up residency within our hearts and you have made it possible. You and your will have changed the way that we do things. You've changed the things that we want and desire. You've changed us to desire to have peace with one another. That's totally different from our selfishness, our selfish desires. We've put those things aside and we've chosen to love like you and forgive like you and to be more Christ-like in everything that we say and do in our comings and goings. To put others first rather than ourselves first. Father, today we just praise you and thank you that we are changed creatures in Christ Jesus. And Father, this morning, if there is one here that doesn't know you, that hasn't changed, their hearts haven't changed, but they have that calling within them, Father. They feel your Spirit calling out to them to repent of their sins and to come to you, Father. I pray that this would be the day of salvation for them, Lord. I pray, Lord, that they would come forward, that they would repent of their sins and that they would be obedient in baptism for the remission of their sins, that they would receive the indwelling gift of the Holy Spirit. They'd have a heart, a changed heart this morning. That they would invite you into their lives. Lord, I just pray that this would be a day of salvation for each and every person that doesn't know you today. We praise you and thank you, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. At this